neighbor. Welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button. This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here, and there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things? Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things? Things you'd like to have. Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark and wonder what they were? Did you ever pretend about things like that before? Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind. It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow.
This is the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Imagine. I am one of your hosts, Eric Walquist, and with me as always is one of my co-hosts, my only co-host,
Jesse Wilson.
Jesse. Each week we bring you a theme, bring you four stories on that theme. This week, growing things in the garden of your mind. From Personal Arrogance Studios in Seattle, Washington, this is a Personal Arrogance Podcast.
Pretty good goof there.
Pretty good goof. Well, we started with the PBS, and then we went to the NPR. I guess it's technically PRI. Got to get your public networks in the right place. And also WBEZ Chicago. Shout out to them. But anyway, that's the note we've decided to embark on this cast this week with.
Was that a decision?
That was a decision.
I feel like that was kind of a dictatorship kind of decision.
It was a benevolent dictatorship decision. Let's just say I knew you wouldn't
dictator decision.
Yes. I knew you wouldn't be furious.
No, it's quite amused.
Okay, good.
Doing good, Ira Glass.
Oh, so thanks.
That was a make it or break it.
Yeah.
Quality of the impersonation.
Well, thanks. So, Jesse, how's your week?
Oh, Eric. So, I have a dentist appointment on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been flossing to prepare.
Yep. Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but still, I've been flossing for a week or so now.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little ahead of the ball. I got a piece of floss stuck in my teeth today, and it broke off, and I can't get it out.
Not even with more floss?
No, I used more floss, and I felt like that scene in Ricky Bobby where he gets a knife stuck in his knee, and they use the other knife to try and pry it out. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, that'll teach you for flossing.
Yeah, at least when I do go to the dentist, they can't tell me I haven't been flossing.
That's totally true. Actually, I've been flossing probably too much. Can you give me a hand here?
Yeah.
Can you have any of those pointy things? Can you just put a pointy thing on that? Thanks.
I hate it so much. I have a dentist appointment on Friday the 13th at 7 a.m. Awesome.
Hey, Friday the 13th is my lucky day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
I'll shoot some luck your way.
Please. You better not forget.
I won't. I was born on Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Yeah. How about that?
So was I. Friday the 13th, the 24th.
Friday the 13th plus 11.
Yeah, there you go. So how you been?
I've been great. The reason why I say, you know, it doesn't matter, because I'm pretty sure dental hygienists are trained, no matter what, to say you have not been flossing.
Yeah, I know. Or at least not enough.
Right. And they get so much joy out of saying it, too.
Like,
that's why I don't floss. I wouldn't want to, you know, rob them of that joy.
Well, you know how some dentists advertise as being pain-free?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to a dentist that advertises as shame-free. Come in with the gnarliest grill, and we won't make judgments about your life choices or anything. We won't tell you haven't been flossing enough. Whatever.
You're doing too much meth.
You're an adult. You can make these decisions, and you've come here for me to fix a problem, and that's all I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm a dentist.
This is what I don't understand. It's like dentists, I mean, technically, they should be like, hey, maybe skip the flossing this month so that you have 12 cavities next time you come in and I can roll a bankroll off of you.
I know,
right? I'm just saying.
Prevention is not in your business plan.
Exactly.
Maybe the floss actually, like, implants little cavities.
It's all a ruse.
Conspiracy.
It's yeah. all a ruse. The dental conspiracy.
I've only had a couple cavities in my life.
Yeah?
And I never floss. Explain that, science.
Yeah, I've had three. I think I've had three or four.
I think I've had about three.
Yeah.
I had a couple when my braces came off.
Yeah, me too. That was like my teeth went into shock. They were like, we were all mechanized and now we're not. It's like taking the mask off of Darth Vader. They just they just die.
I feel so exposed. Why did you tear down my fence?
Oh god.
Oh boy.
So what are you drinking this week, man?
Well, sit right back and I'll tell a tale of a fateful trip. I went to buy some beers today and got some really good shit.
Congrats.
I went to the poorhouse on a mission to buy the beer that I mentioned yesterday to you,
yep.
Which is the oak-aged IPA. And they have a bottle shop there. And I looked and looked, and they were supposed to have it, but they didn't. I couldn't find it. So instead, I bought a couple other beers, including an oaked Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I've had it yet.
I haven't had that yet.
Well, I'll be having that later, because after I bought the Oaked Arrogant Bastard and another beer that I'm going to save for next week's podcast, I found what's called Rumble from Great Divide, and it is their oak barrel-aged India Pale Ale. So it was only $2.20 a bottle.
Say what?
For 12 ounces.
Huh.
And so I picked up three of them, and I'm drinking that right now, and it is so good. It's super vanilla-y. Like the vanillin's that all comes out of the barrel. So it's like the front end is super oaky and vanilla-y, and then it ends on kind of a mild hoppy floral flavor, and it is just so good, and it smells so sweet and vanilla-y. It's an A+ beer.
All right.
So look for that if you can find it. Great Divide. It's got a blue label with a bull on it.
Like a cereal bowl or like a bullfighting bowl?
Like a fighting bowl.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be cooler if it was a cereal bowl and like the cereal were parted. It's like Moses' cereal bowl. It's a Great Divide.
Yeah, actually, you should write them.
The Cheerios. Anyway, I...
So once again, that's Rumble.
Rumble, and I'm drinking the Gigantic IPA from the Gigantic Brewing Company in Portland, Oregon. This was recommended to me by the official beer buyer at Whole Foods. So, and he did not lead me astray. This is delicious beer, even though it's from Portland. And that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
who are we dedicating this episode to?
This episode is dedicated to friend of the show, Mars, who I got a chance to see him perform in his band on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he bought me a beer, and I said, are you sure? And he said, well, you've provided 70-plus hours of free entertainment, so the least I can do is buy you a beer, which I think is a good precedent to set for our fans.
Well, to which I say, Mars, we've actually provided 100 hours, and it seems like you haven't been filling up your side of the deal. So
well,
that's two beers.
Well, it's been going backwards.
Well, Mars, if you're going to be a diehard fan, actually, please don't. Please don't listen to our previous episodes.
Yeah, I know, right? Be careful what you wish for.
Start at, I don't know, 72? Move forward from there, and then never look back.
I feel like the ones that have names are all good.
That's 25 and up.
See, I feel like we were hitting our stride by then.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious because I remember when we first started, when we were like, made the decision to start naming the episodes.
I know,
and
me
it
too.
Seemed like such a big decision. And then that was like 76 episodes ago.
That's so crazy. It seems like just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the one episode, and the only, there's only one place you could still get this episode. There, actually, there's two places, but one of them no one ever goes to. But you can only get it on personalarrogance.com. It's episode 3. And that is the episode to avoid most, I would say.
Yeah. Well, way to advertise it. People are going to want it. It was the drunkest episode.
It was definitely the drunkest, the weariest. We had just gotten back from a bachelor party. We were getting ready for Levi's wedding. It was 2 in the morning. Yeah, that was a rough episode. So,
that was a rough one. Are we gonna? Are we going to be recording after your bachelor party?
I don't know. That's the other thing, is there is a lost episode. I will for all the diehards out there, we did actually record an episode, the last PAX, also at like 2 in the morning, also incredibly drunk, in the middle of the beanbag section, of the love sack section. And we invited some dude who was walking by to be a part of the cast. Also, Aaron from Bald Move, from the Bald Move Network, is on that episode. And that is only accessible on personalarrogance.com under the Expos tag.
Oh, God, don't listen to that one.
Please don't listen to it.
But now you know where to find it.
But now you know where to find it, yeah. So I guess it's time for a little bit of a D20 roll-off to see who gets to speak first on this podcast. Our little tiny Matt roll-off brought to you by the Kia Sorento.
Step into a 2013 Kia Sorento, now with 7 airbags.
We threw another airbag in there.
Yeah, there's an extra one. It's on top.
It'll come from one of 5 different places. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise bag. It's behind one of the seats in the back.
Yeah, and
it's behind that, so now you can't put your baby in the back seat anymore.
That's true. The baby can only be in the trunk.
Yeah,
in the cargo hold. Okay, so anyway, little tiny Matt roll off. Here we go. 20 set of die, and away we roll.
I'm using a new dice rolling app I just installed.
Congrats.
For free, and I rolled a 17.
I rolled a 2.
All right.
I feel like those dice rolling apps, there's got to be something fishy about those. Because if you roll crappy on your dice rolling app like 4 times in a row, you're like, I'm not using this anymore.
That's a good point. I'm going to give this a 1-star review.
Yeah. It only rolls 4s and 7s.
I'm Harry Carey. before I get into my topic, I want to mention something funny. I've been playing a lot of Madden.
Mm-hmm.
And playing my custom team.
Word.
And my girlfriend was wondering if the players on my custom team were actual NFL players or if they were made up for the custom team.
Right.
And I didn't have a good answer for that. I wasn't sure.
Right.
And then, you know how at the end of the game it'll do like the impact player interview thing.
Yeah.
And there's one of my guys on defense, his last name is Flowers.
Uh-huh.
And he was getting the interview, so it had his full name, and it was Algernon Flowers.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, pretty sure this is made up, because, you know, Flowers for Algernon. I'm not too worried about it. Anyway, for my first topic, we have to be careful here, because I don't want to get political, but we're going to be talking about a political figure.
Okay.
And this is, of course, Mitt Romney.
Mittens.
Who? Mittens. Oh God. who got a little famous on the internet recently?
Yeah.
This is from deathandtaxesmag.com, so I don't. Who knows about the credibility of this? But apparently, there's a rumor circulating that Mitt Romney, for fun, in high school and later in college, used to dress up as a police officer and pull people over.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of a weird thing to do.
A thing that was made famous by Javier Bardem in the movie No Country for Old Men. Although you haven't seen this movie. You got to see this movie to get my No Country for Old Men jokes.
I know. This is the sixth time.
It's a treasure trove of comedy.
Okay. I'll try it. Watch it.
And it'll make you feel awful after you see it.
Great.
But that's where the comedy comes from. Yeah.
So the quote is, the quote here in this blog post is, he told us he had gotten the uniform from his father, George Romney, then the governor of Michigan, whose security detail was staffed by uniform troopers. He told us he was using it to pull over drivers on the road. He also had a red flashing light that he would attach to the top of his white Rambler. We thought it was all pretty weird. We all thought, wow, that's pretty weird. And after... He says, wow, that's pretty creepy. But, and after that, we didn't have much interaction with him. And the quote is attributed to, let me find it here. Someone who identifies himself as a former friend from his Stanford days. TV producer Robin Madden.
Well, liberal media.
Yeah, a former friend of Romney during his time at Stanford.
Yeah. Well, you know, this isn't the first thing that's popped up, in Mitt Romney's past. That's just kind of weird, you know. There's a story of him tying his dog to the top of the car.
I didn't hear that one.
Oh yeah, he went on a family vacation and tied his dog to the top of his car in a crate, for the vacation.
Happy vacation, Whiskers.
Yeah. So that outraged some people. Although he did say that the dog liked it up there.
Yeah, well, you know, he asked the dog, there's plenty of seating, he asked the dog, hey, where do you want to sit? And the dog said, roof!
Oh, man.
Hey-o!
That was a thing of beauty.
And there's also allegations that he will walk around the beach at California and, hassle people who are smoking pot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So apparently he's just kind of a troll.
Well, also, yeah, I know. This is the only other thing. I mean, yes, he trolled his dog by tying it on top of the car. But the Washington Post reported in March that while he was a student at the Cranbrook School, which is a prestigious institution in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, multiple classmates of Romney recall how he led a group of students that forcibly cut the hair of John Luber, a student who was thought to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that one too.
Trolling?
He's a freaking prankster.
Troll Romney.
I kind of want to know what he would do given the ultimate authority.
Oh, I don't.
What's he going to do to Canada?
Well, this is all very interesting because, I mean, Barack Obama has some things in his past, and he's admitted to them. They're in his books.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, he partook in illegal substances and that sort of thing. But it doesn't really come up in the election because he's like, yeah, I already admitted that. It's not really a revelation to people. Not to mention most of the people in the United States have, at one point, used a controlled substance.
Yeah, I think maybe Mitt just needs to... own up to it and be like, all right, moving forward.
But I thought it was funny. It was kind of a dick move.
In this article, I mean, that it is a dick move to do that to just random people.
Yeah.
But in this article, it also mentions he used to do it to his friends who are on dates. And that is
hilarious.
That's a good goof.
It is a good goof, but it's like, man, why don't you have a date?
What you doing, buddy?
What you doing?
Can't you see? I already have plans. No time to date.
I like your Mitt Romney impression. That's actually pretty good. I think we found the one impression you could do.
Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
Which is just confused white guy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, I don't want to get political. And I don't even know if you can really extrapolate much as to the quality of a leader that makes him. It's just kind of funny, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know. I think that Mitt Romney is, it's so funny to me because he is so reminiscent of John Kerry that it's almost scary.
That's true. I hadn't thought about
John Kerry's scary, man.
He's the Republican John Kerry.
He is the Republican John Kerry. He's a moderate Republican from Massachusetts. You know, he's a moderate New England politician going against an incumbent, and he's kind of been thrown out there without much competition because nobody wants to run against an incumbent.
Right. That's crazy.
Even though the incumbent is not necessarily the most popular guy on the planet. It's very similar. I wouldn't say that Barack Obama is as, I don't know. I guess it's different states for different hates.
Please make that into a bumper sticker.
I think so. Because, I mean, I think being from Washington, I was hearing a lot about how terrible George W. Bush was. And I'm not hearing a lot about how terrible Barack Obama is. But I'm sure in some states, it's a bad word to say Barack Obama, the much the same way it was a bad word to say George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Up in Western Washington.
That's crazy. Now that you mentioned the John Kerry thing, there are definitely a lot of parallels.
A lot of
there.
Parallels. Although Kerry was a senator and Romney was a governor. That's the other thing that I think is a little weird is Mitt Romney hasn't been in politics for a while. So he's just been sitting back making money off of his investments.
Not doing much. I always wanted to be president. Let's go for it.
Yeah. I'm really going to give it the
fighting try. Give
me
my president uniform. I'm going to pull over a couple.
He's got a jet that's painted like Air Force One.
Date night, huh?
He flies it into airports, and then everybody gets excited, and he gets out. And he's like, gotcha!
But seriously, you're good people.
Vote for me.
Vote for me. So, yeah, I think about all there is to that, but I find it humorous.
Yep. Well, I'm going to move on to my first topic, and...
It would have been better, though, if he had a tearaway cop uniform and then started stripping.
Well, it's a long time till November. We still have some time for details to emerge.
Oh, boy.
So this was something, and it's actually the top story on Reddit right now, and it made me very interested on a couple of levels. So this is it. It's from user Delver of Secrets.
Wow.
Which now that I'm looking at it, oh no, he's been a user for a while. He's got 5 months, 43
sounds
comment
like a drug.
Karma.
He's been a user for a while.
Wire.
Delver of Secrets sounds like a D&D 3rd edition prestige class.
Absolutely. So this is the story. He says, "Dear Reddit, I work in NYC and was dragged into a very, very curious situation today. I am taking the 1 train from Midtown to the Financial District, and as usual, the train was pretty packed. I bumped into a raggedy-dressed man as we got on, and he shot me a quick smile. I thought nothing of it until he went to get off at 14th Street and he handed me a $50 bill along with a note. Before I could even open my mouth to ask him a question, he was gone. Below you will find the pictures of the front and the back of the note." So basically the front of the note is, it's like a grid, kind of like a crossword puzzle grid, but without any of the black spaces. And then there's letters that are written into it, and they're just jumbled letters, basically. But they are written down into words. And then the back of the back page is just an alphabet written out, but it's GNITSERALPODZYX. You get where it's going there. So he says, "I've been looking at the note all day, and needless to say, I have no idea what it means. It's handwritten on a 3x3 square piece of paper with no identifying marks and no watermarks. There is a hand-drawn grid and a couple of spots. The cells of the grid are combined. The note has random character written throughout it. Bottom quarter is filled with random shapes and numbers." So, he basically posted this on Reddit, and as they are wont to do, Reddit figured it out pretty quickly.
Well, I don't think they did figure it out, because I just figured it out right now.
What do you mean?
The homeless man?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney.
Oh, damn it!
Trolled.
Trolled.
This is his new thing.
Well, this could be a big troll, okay? Because somebody, apparently it's a Bifid cipher, which isn't that big of a, it's not that big of a mystery. Basically, you just apply A, B, C, D, E, F, G to the letters on the back, and then you figure it out. It's not a very hard code to break. And in fact, there's something that you can find in like your Sunday newspaper that is a Bifer code, and it's just something that people do. My grandma was a big fan of doing them. But so this is a Bifid cipher.
Your grandma, the wind talker.
Ah. And and it said that it comes out to, "There's plenty more money to make. Figure this out and prepare to meet July 19th, 56th and 6th hot dog stand outside Blank Cafe. Ask for Mr. Blank." And the poster who put that up left the key details so that the original poster could figure out himself. So basically, this is a weird story about a guy who is sitting on the subway. A guy that he describes as homeless handed him a $50 bill and a cipher, and it says to meet him on the corner of 56 and 6th Avenue in New York on July 19th, which is the day that it's the day before The Dark Knight comes out.
This is all a viral marketing campaign for The Dark Knight.
It's all just leading up to the revelation that the Riddler is part of The Dark Knight Rises. But what do you make of this, Jesse? Do you think he should go?
I would have to go. I mean, that's the type of thing that would haunt me. If I never went, like, I would wonder the rest of my life what would have happened.
Well, and now that it's on Reddit, I bet it's going to become a little bit of a Reddit meetup. Although it is interesting, it doesn't have a time, so it's just going to be like all day long.
But I thought that important information was withheld of where it actually is.
Yeah, but anybody can figure out the cipher and actually just get it. It's not that hard.
It's going to be a flash mob.
Yeah. It's just leading up to a flash mob. That would actually be great if it's a reverse flash mob. So you get one guy to show up and then he gets flash mobbed.
It is. He's setting himself up for a flash mob. Who are you? Why did you do this?
It's interesting though. It says more money is to be made.
Yeah, I wonder. So, I don't know. Is he a drug dealer or something?
Drug dealer, time traveler. There's a million things he could be, and I bet you a million Redditors are going to show up and try to figure it out. But yeah, this also...
Because it'll be worth at least a 1,200 karma when that day comes.
Oh, yeah.
If someone follows up on this.
This is going to become like a Reddit holiday. I mean, this thing has 13,000, over 13,000 upvotes, and it's on the front page. So that means a ton of people have read this.
Or the day that a 1,300 Redditors died in an explosion.
I know, exactly. There's so much mystery revolving around it. But this
it
does
true.
Beg the question.
I'll bet you anything it's some sort of viral marketing.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is I think... I feel like Redditors, they spend half their time looking at Reddit and being like, hey, that's funny. And then the other half of the time being like, that's bullshit. Totally fake.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is interesting or actually just fake.
It seems like
fake would be very prudent.
It seems fake.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's something cool. Well, I don't know what it could be.
The guy's name is Delver of Secrets.
Uh-huh.
But he has been around for, like I said, 5 months on Reddit.
Oh, that's not very long.
Yeah. He's a Magic fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his post history like?
I'm looking at it right now. He's got... He was in a part of a Magic card trade. He said he's got four of every standard legal card. Zendikar fetches, High Tide staples, Tabernacle of the Pendel Vale. And money.
It's a viral marketing campaign for Magic 13.
Hey, what do you know? Another one. Found this purple tag inside my booster pack. He commented on that. So he does a lot of MTG stuff. In fact, just about all of these are. Although he did put a... He did put up a post that only got 3 upvotes to ask Reddit. It was his first post. It said, you have 30 days to spend $30 million with a few rules. How would you spend the money?
Huh.
So that seems like a little bit of a Reddit, you know, lure.
A red flag.
Yeah. Because that's the type of post people put up there just to get, you know, comment karma. People comment.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. If it is, I mean, this could be a very interesting thing. Even if it's a hoax and you get a bunch of people to show up, I mean, it kind of shows the value of that. Maybe he's a marketing student. Maybe he's getting his master's in marketing and he's trying to figure out ways to market on Reddit or something like that.
Well, apparently the Magic 2013 core set is supposed to drop on July 13th. Less than a week away.
I don't know.
I'm putting my money on Magic M13 viral marketing campaign.
All right.
I mean, my first inclination was Wizards of the Coast based off of his name.
Well, yeah, and every single one of his stuff, every single one of his other posts except for that $30 million post is about Magic the Gathering. It's in the r/MagicTCG list.
So, yeah.
This is very interesting to me.
Interesting to me too. I'm saying smart money's on Magic 13 release.
All right. Well, we'll see. July 19th, Reddit holiday. Hey, if I was in New York, I would probably go.
Yeah.
Just to see.
All day. Camp out.
Just camp out.
Just bring a folding chair. Yeah.
Well, that seems cool. So, anyway, that's coming up. And now it's time for a little Pursuit of Trivia.
Nice. Would have been apropos to do the Magic Card Minute, but I don't have any on me.
Yeah, I don't actually have any trivia cards on me either.
Uh-oh.
So if you could stall for about 5 seconds, I could go run and get them. And stall now.
I do want to talk about the difference in these oaked beers that I got, because the Rumble is properly barrel-aged, so that's fully traditional oak-aged, whereas the Arrogant Bastard, oaked Arrogant Bastard, is oaked with wood chips, which is kind of the poor man's, the layman's oaking. And I'm going to crack that open in a few seconds here. Give that a taste
test. And stalling done.
I think that worked out pretty well.
All right, great job. So I'm going to roll a six-sided die here to see which category we will do first. And it is sports and leisure.
Oh, goody.
Everybody's favorite. So, Jesse, I'm going to ask you first. Here we go. Please play along at home. Who is the victim of the murder in the game of Clue?
Oh, jeez. I feel like it's the host. I don't know his name.
I don't know his name either. I thought it was the butler. I don't know. This is kind of sad. Mr. Body.
Nice.
Well, now you know. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so this one's for me. What playing card symbolizes death? What playing card symbolizes death? I'm going to say the King of Hearts.
I gotta say the Queen of Spades.
The Ace of Spades!
Damn it! I knew it had to be spades. Because, like, digging in the dirt with a spade.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, the King of Hearts is a suicide king.
True.
True. All right, so this one's for you, Jesse. Who played for the Chicago Bears, Houston Oilers, and Oakland Raiders in his 26-year pro football career? And this just shows how much I've been playing. I played Blood Bowl in my life. They almost said the Oakland Raiders. Not Hero will get that.
Not Hero will love that. Yeah. Would that be Dick Butkus?
I'm going to say Joe Brown. George Blanda.
Oh, he was a little boring.
That was a weird. Yes. All right, and this one's for me. What did a 16th century Aztec athlete get for putting a rubber ball through a ring? I'm going to say corn.
I'm going to say a point.
The spectator's clothes.
Nice. Take it off, ladies.
I don't know. I think that's all very speculative. But anyway... So we both got everything wrong this week, so that means we're going to move it on to a geography tiebreaker. And so who's ever geographically closest to the answer will win. And the question is, what country's flag flies over the island of Ibiza?
Can you spell that?
I-B-I-Z-A.
I'm going to say Turkey.
I'm going to say Spain.
Oh, nice.
Hell to the yeah. Eric,
well,
wins.
You win at something.
I win at something this week. But Jesse, you won the roll-off, so now it's time for you to take the floor on your second topic.
Real quick, I'm drinking that oat, Arrogant Bastard.
Uh-huh.
And it tastes really, like, maple-y and kind of brown sugary.
Mmm, I like it.
So, pretty good, but I think it detracts from some of the other flavors you get from Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah.
So, for my second topic, I want to talk about something, a news item that's came out a while ago.
Uh-huh.
But I was kind of digging through some of my older bookmarks and stumbled upon it. And it's an interesting little historical tidbit. That is that the Romans used a 20-sided dice 2 millennia before D&D. So Roman era die was sold on the Christie's website, the auction website.
Yeah.
And it's a 2,000-year-old 20-sided die, and it looks exactly like a D&D 20-sided die.
How much did it sell for?
I wish they said that, and I can't believe they left it out. I don't know.
$1.25. That's what that's what's going to show up on July 19th at the corner. It's
yeah,
all the Wizards marketing.
The seller acquired it from his father, who picked it up in the 1920s in Egypt. And what's interesting is there's markings on the die, but they're neither Roman or Arabic numerals.
What are they?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It's some sort of special thing specifically for this die.
Custom die.
Yeah, it's a custom die, and it says in the article, modern scholarship has not yet established the game for which these dice were used.
Well, who says it has to be for a game?
Apparently these scholars.
I'm just saying, I mean, it could be used for a religious ceremony, or like, I mean, you could use a die for like a fortune-telling type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's actually... That makes a lot of sense, especially the fortune-telling or the religious ceremony thing.
Right.
But you'd think that something like that might be more well-documented,
well,
whereas this seems to be a mystery.
Yeah. Well, I do have a sale price for this. It was estimated to sell for $4,000 to $6,000.
That's it?
And it raked in $17,925.
Oh. Yeah, I would spend about $17,000 on a 2,000-year-old 20-sided die, and I would play with it.
I know. That's the thing. Like, what are you going to do, break it?
I think it stood the test of time.
Yeah. You would have to make a little cipher though to for each of the symbols of what they mean as a number.
Yeah. I rolled a 0 with a dot in it and a line.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I'm looking at the die right now and it looks like a lot of these look like English letters.
I see kind of a there's like an O and a V and maybe a P and an H and an I.
So this is obviously just ancient form of categories.
It's the first category.
It's the first categories.
Oh, man. That's
take
great.
That, Moncala. Scategories.
Like when they roll a V and you can use Vinny, Vidi, and VT. Or under famous quote, you can use that for triple points.
That's true. Or like if it was, you know, founders, you could have Romulus and Remus.
Politicians. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would totally play with that. You know, and they should make replicas of it.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Sell that on Etsy.
Hell yeah, I just need to know what the rest of the things are. I need more pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy some Sculpey.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of a beer baron right now.
How many beers do you have in front of you?
Just two, but I got them in the cool tulip glasses from Belgian Beer Fest.
Uh-huh.
So they're like tasters, but they're the tulip style with the stem and everything, and they're glass. They're the coolest tasters I've ever seen.
Well.
So it makes me feel very fancy.
This is the other thing that was brought up by, you know, I'm reading the very reputable slash dot org blog. Dolo 666 writes, there's a D20 for sale at Christie's titled A Roman Glass Gaming Die. This item dates to 2nd century AD and is likely to go for more than $6,000. try almost triple that, Dolo. But just think of the diehard gamer of your on your list this festive season. What would make all those late night Cthulhu missions with Lord Necrol, the 16th level assassin demigod, a smashing good time? This would be perfect for Call of Cthulhu role playing.
That is very true. It's probably haunted.
It probably
the die
is.
Itself.
Yeah. That's actually why they call them dies, is because they when someone dies, their spirit goes into the die.
Uh huh. Some sweaty nerd spirit is tied to it forever.
Yeah.
Oh God. What die would you want to be tied to?
You know, I don't need to do a D20. I'm more of a fan of like a D8.
Mm.
I like the D3s because that would be like a little pyramid.
Well, the pyramid is
or
the D4.
D4, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say I'd want to be a D4 because eventually someone's going to step on you, and I think it would be funny as a spirit for someone to step on me and hurt themselves.
Yes.
And curse. I would get a kick out of that.
This conversation has gone to a weird place.
Although, well, why don't you jump to your second topic?
I like a D12 as well.
Yeah.
D12s are interesting.
Some barbarians die.
So my second topic is going to be a little bit of a recommendation, just because this is something that I did and I think more people should do. I actually heard this from the aforementioned Aaron Hubbard over at Bald Move. Penny Arcade is doing something that's very interesting, and they're harkening back to their early days when they were broke and they were homeless. And they were thinking about quitting their website, and they begged for donations.
And they would get on the subway and give people random ciphers and $50.
Right.
And that's how they built their fan base.
They would show up 2 weeks later, and they would hand them a webcomic.
Yes, that's what the cipher is.
it worked. You know, it worked back then. Basically they were able to keep themselves afloat for many years, to the point where they got the following that they needed for their webcomic. And then they were able to make the Penny Arcade Expo, and they were able to make many people's lives so much better, through the Penny Arcade Expo and also their charity Child's Play. So it worked for them. So they're like, hey, let's do that again.
Yeah.
So they are. Basically, their goal is to go ad-free for a year and just be complete.
Just like Personal Arrogance podcast.
Just like Personal Arrogance. Actually, we have an ad on our page. Still waiting on those clicks,
the podcast. The podcast itself, however.
Yes, the podcast itself. Completely except funded by the donations of Jesse and Eric.
Uh-huh. And the 2013 Kia Sorento.
Yes. And so they decided to go back to, you know, something that's been very lucrative for a lot of game companies lately, which is Kickstarter, and say, hey, let's fund ourselves. Let's see if we can fund ourselves for a year. And so their goal is $250,000. Mm-hmm. This launched, I believe, on Tuesday. And right now they're up to $189,237.
Nice. On their way.
At the time of the recording of this podcast. Oh, nope. They're up to $191,900. I just refreshed it.
Nice. Something I find weird about this is they mention that now their operating costs include 12 employees.
Yeah.
And $250,000 does not divide very well among 12 employees.
No, it's like $22,000 a person per year.
I think it's only $20,000.
Well, $20,000 would be $140,000.
You know what? I don't need you and your math.
Or it'd be $240,000.
Yeah. But still, that's not a great cut.
It's not a great cut. But I imagine that they also don't get all their money just from advertisers on their webpage. They probably make a fair amount of money from something called the Penny Arcade Expo.
Never heard of it.
So this is just for their webpage. But so $250,000 is their goal. They're probably going to reach that by the weekend. But then they have special secret projects that are coming up at the $325,000 level, the $450,000 level. The $525,000 level, the $550,000 level, the $675,000 level, the $750,000 level, the $825,000 level, the $999,999 level, the $1.1 million level, the $1.2 million level, the $1.3 million, and the $1.4 million level. There's going to be a big surprise for everyone involved.
Better be big.
It better be huge, because it took me a long time to say all those.
Free packs.
Yes. but I went ahead and threw my $15 into the pot.
Did you?
I did. And I like the reward. You get Gabe shouting your name as he chases a duck. And you'll be listed on the supported by page, which I imagine will be pretty large. And then you also get Gabe thinking about you during sex, and a certificate of appreciation will be mailed to me.
Oh, that's cute.
So I will frame it and put it in my cube.
Cube.
But,
well, that's neat. I'm probably not going to donate. But
apparently last night, the average donation was $77.
That's a pretty substantial donation.
Yeah.
These guys have really done the internet right.
They did it hard.
They did it hard and right.
Hard and true. I think it's a great thing. And the reason why I threw my money toward it, first of all, I think that Kickstarter is a great thing. And I've only kickstarted a handful of projects, but I figure, you know, I've kickstarted only games. But, you know, I think it's great that, you know, it's kind of a crowdsourcing thing. I used to work at a PBS station. It kind of reminds me of that. It's like, This is the new way to create public media, mm-hmm. instead of trying to sell you a CD for $75. Well, I guess that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, but, I did a Kickstarter recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I kickstarted a book about a striker brigade. It's called Striker, and the Battle of Sodder City, which is a battle that took place in Iraq, and it didn't receive a bunch of media attention. So it's the soldiers recounting of the Battle of Sodder City. So it went through and everything. I'm excited to get my book.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, self-published, helping out a veteran. So I'm happy
yeah,
with my. That's my only Kickstarter purchase.
Well, that's good. We're coming up on the $325,000 mark here, and I just wanted to reveal to everyone the second project update from the Penny Arcade Kickstarter project. He says, "We're just revealing things left and right around here. It would be our great pleasure to acquaint you with Automata Silverside in lieu of our typical creative services work. The first of these projects unlocks at $325,000, and we're chomping at the bit, or champing at it. I can never remember chomp or champ. In any case, there won't be anything left of this bit by the time we're done. We're going crazy on it." So
interesting.
They're really trying to get the word out there. So I'm doing my part.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I like that they're able to make that work, and it's great to see the fans pulling through for a quality product.
Word up, yo! And I think that they should sell, instead of a certificate, they should give you stock, just like the Green Bay Packers do. And then every yeah. year you can vote on whether or not the Penny Arcade Expo is the best one ever or not. And then if it isn't, then one of them gets executed.
Wow.
And replaced.
That's pretty real.
I think that it's fair. I'm throwing
replaced
$15 in the pop.
Chris Hardwick?
No.
No.
Never mind.
I thought he was the voice of the nerd.
No, that's Will Wheaton.
Oh, that's right.
So anyway, so that's on Kickstarter. You can find it by typing in Penny Arcade Kickstarter.
I would really like to see Will Wheaton and Chris Hardwick have a fight.
Yeah, I think Will Wheaton would win.
If that's one of the options, if that's one of the secret projects,
Yeah.
And a real fight too, not a friends fight.
Right. No boxing gloves. We're talking bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, cage match.
Yep.
MMA style.
Shirtless.
I would pay money to see that.
Well, you know, Chris Hardwick has the arms of a 12-year-old wrestler. and Will Wheaton has the beard of a lumberjack.
That's true.
I think it's pretty apparent.
I don't know if he would be able to operate his hands correctly if he had to take all those rings off.
That's true. Well, the other thing is...
They might just rise up in the air, like when you do that thing where you press your arms against a door frame.
That's true. You know, the thing is that if it's a cage match, then they're going to take their shirts off. And the pastiness might blind every... It would be like two sun gods battling each other. Like, no one could watch it.
You would have to observe it like a...
like an eclipse. You have to wear a welder's mask. Yeah. Everyone's wearing welder's masks.
I had to poke a little hole in a piece of paper and watch it through that.
Oh, God.
That'd be a good one.
Oh, the goofs keep rolling. The Personal
Arrogance
Podcast.
Yeah, I would pay for that.
Yep. Well, I guess it's time for some recommendations.
I'm just going to kickstart it. You know, I'll get the money and then work out the details later.
Yeah, just do that. Just be like, I bet you if we raise $100,000 and we gave $50,000 to each of their charity of choice.
Charities.
Then they would do it.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
What happens? What's the worst that can happen? Our Kickstarter fails?
Or we get sued by Will Wheaton and Chris Hardwick.
Hey, man.
But we have $100,000 to fight the case.
Oh, my God. Well, the good news is you guys won the case. The bad news is they spent all the money you would win on lawyers. So really, we won. The lawyers.
Kickstart my legal procedures. Oh, man.
For $500, I'll get up in court and scream, "I'm out of order! This whole damn courtroom's out of order!" Brought to you by...
The Kia Sorento.
Kia Sorento. Oh, boy. Draw that, Mr. Court Sketchy Guy.
All right.
Are they allowed to draw speech bubbles? The guys that draw the sketches of the court?
I don't think so. It'd be cool if, like, they threw a speech bubble and then the stenographer, like, ripped off a piece of the sketch and licked it and then stuck it on there.
It's mixed media. I like this.
Yeah. I just love that a courtroom is, like, the only place where relics, like, the only place where a stenographer and a sketch artist can get a job these days.
Yeah, it's true. They wanted to modernize, but the union shut it down. The stenographer and sketch artist union.
Courtrooms using the same technology since 1845.
Since the first court.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
The giggles, I think the giggles are giggled out.
I'm giggled out.
So let's do some recommendations to call it a cast. What do you say?
Yeah, why don't you prattle off the info, since you're so good at that.
All right, well, I just want to let everybody know you can always get a hold of us on our email account, which is personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can find us on our social media by going to personalarrogance.com. And looking up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see our Twitter, our Facebook, and our RSS feed, also our iTunes feed. But it would really make us happy if you rated and reviewed us on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be excellent, and we will read your review on the air if you do that, or you can give us a call and we'll just play your beautiful voice, because it'll go straight to voicemail when you call us at 360-362-0024. But the best thing you can do is grab a friend by the shoulder, shake them violently, and tell them that the Personal Arrogance podcast is the only thing that will save their soul.
Get spittle all over their face.
You can also just show up on a street corner in New York on July 19th and scream it.
Someone please do that.
Please do it.
Oh, that'd be great.
So So anyway, that's how you can get a hold of us. And now we're going to get a hold of your ear and your curiosity by giving you some recommendations before we leave you for the week.
That's right. My first recommendation is go on a digital vacation. And I have two suggestions. One is Skippy, the stone skipping robot.
Yeah.
You can find him at stoneskippingrobot.com, and it's a robot that will throw a stone across a Idaho lake for you.
Is this like a not an occupied lake? Are there no wildlife around?
Sometimes you'll hit like a bison or a canoe or
you'll
know.
Explode a bird like Randy Johnson.
Fly fisherman. So then you can go all the way with the click of a mouse from Idaho to the Vatican. If you go to vatican.va, you can check out the entire Sistine Chapel artwork, which is pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that's my first recommendation. I've been doing that today. It's great.
Cool. Well, my first recommendation is going to be, it kind of harkens back to my second topic, but the Penny Arcade Expo is just 49 days away from the day that this podcast is released. So now is the time to start getting excited about it. And now is probably the time to start looking for those third-party tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. That's more accurate.
Yes. But it's coming. And so are the Canadians, and we're going to hang out with them. Why? Because they wrote us an email.
And asked.
And asked us. And
that's
we
really
said
all
yes.
It takes.
That's really all it takes. So Penny Arcade Expo coming up in just 49 days. Exciting.
My recommendation is a little GIF .gif file that's been giving me a huge amount of joy. I'm calling it dog sledding, and I'm going to upload it to the Personal Arrogance Facebook page, so you can find it there and enjoy that as well.
Dog sledding. And my recommendation this week is going to be the inaugural performance of the Swedish Space Program.
Oh, yeah?
This Friday in Belltown at a private event that you won't be able to attend. But the exciting thing is that the Swedish Space Program is starting.
Oh, they're just starting?
Performance.
I thought you meant like their first rocket was going into orbit or
no,
something.
No, no. The Swedish Space Program is my DJ name.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
founding member of the Gorilla Suite Syndicate.
You're a monster.
Why?
You're recommending something that no one can go to. That's just you.
I just want to let people know that it's happening.
Fixing music.
It's going to happen.
Oh, you're a monster.
And I'm going to bring my Swedish flag and put it on the front of the table.
You're the worst.
What? Why?
You know why.
I'm also available for other weddings and parties, so you can email me at personalarrogance @gmail.com, and I will DJ your party/wedding.
All right.
In the greater Seattle area, or if you pay for travel costs, anywhere on Earth.
Well, there you go.
Well, I guess that's a week.
I think that's a week.
That's a week,
I think,
man.
We've wrapped up an entire week in the world.
Yep, we wrapped it up in a nice little bow and then kissed it on the forehead and sent it on its way.
Into space on a rocket.
Sent it away. I'm getting really giggly. I think it's this gigantic IPA.
You're drunk.
My dad would say to my 12-year-old self, you're getting the giggles.
Just in case you weren't aware. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. another hour has passed, another hour with you. Please always remember that we love you with all our hearts, and we love your ears, and that's why we like filling them with our voices. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you go
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.